This week on Barbell Shrug, we're talking about energy systems, specifically how to train the aerobic system for CrossFit.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Hey, I see you sitting there, lonely by your keyboard. If you want to, just whip your fingers out, put them on your keys, type in http://www.barbellshrug.com. While you're there, swing on over, sign up for the newsletter. We'll send you some cool free stuff, and make sure to check out Overtime. It's a sweet place with a bunch of sweet stuff. And last but not least, I know you're trying to find a bitchin' t-shirt to get your mom for her birthday. Head on over to merch.barbellshrug.com.
Still like Brian.
One. Go! Welcome back to the Barbell Shrug Podcast. I'm your hoax. I'm a hoax.
You're a hoax. You're a total hoax.
I'm a hoax. I'm your host, Mike McGoldrick, with Coach Alex Macklin.
What's up?
Coach Kurt Mulliken. Hola. And Coach Mike McElroy.
What's happening?
Welcome, guys.
What's happening?
What are we talking about today? Today, we're talking about Alex's favorite topic. It's the complete opposite of weightlifting. We're going to talk about actually two things. We're going to talk about aerobic training for the sport of CrossFit.
Yes.
What those things actually mean, what aerobic means, why do you need to be better at it, how it can actually help you in the sport. So if you're a CrossFitter and you're someone who wants to be better at long metcons, this is the perfect episode for
can
you.
Can we talk about how to make it not suck?
Ooh, yeah. I'll talk to you a little bit about that. What to do to get better at it, you know, doesn't have to be long, grueling, boring sessions by yourself, you know.
On a treadmill.
Several ways you can do it. So I can't wait to dig into this one. Yep. I'm going to pick your brain on all the details.
I'm glad you guys are excited.
Whatever. You got some things you can add to
it. I never
ran cross country. You've got way more endurance experience than I do.
I guess so.
And you know about mitochondria.
I know about mitochondria.
So with that said, I said that CrossFit's an aerobic sport. So what does that mean exactly? Like, should we give a definition on what aerobic means or how CrossFit itself is, you know, maybe we should talk about that first.
Yeah. So in my definition of what aerobic means, aerobic capacity or being able to be aerobic means in kind of layman's terms is the ability to sustain a certain effort for an extended period of time with minimal rest. So that may be the ability to repeat reps. That may be the ability to continuously go on a treadmill or running or a rower. It may be the ability to continue to do one rep, rest 10 seconds, one mm-hmm. rep, rest 10 seconds, one rep, rest 10 seconds for 30 minutes. But the ability to sustain effort for an extended period of time is aerobic capacity.
Gotcha.
But that's more like the training kind of definition, right? That's like
That's kind of how I translate it to clients when I'm talking to them.
Right, right. But there's energy systems involved here, right? I mean, there's, you know, because you have the three energy systems, the phosphocreatine, and then you have the glycolytic, and then you have the oxidative.
Yeah.
The oxidative is what we're talking about right now, right?
So the oxidative ability to use oxygen to produce energy to sustain that effort.
Right. So predominantly using oxygen as the fuel.
Yeah. So in really specific terms, I guess, maybe not specific is the right way, but what we're doing right now is aerobic.
Yeah, just standing around.
Just standing around. Yeah.
Do you have to be stepping up and down on a box with hand weights for it to be aerobic?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the only way to train.
Is that super aerobics?
Yes.
All right. Cool.
So aerobic training is pretty much anything sustained for a long effort, the sustained effort for a long time and utilizing oxygen.
Yeah. Okay. Utilizing oxygen to sustain the energy that you're putting forward. So it may not be necessarily a long time. It may be that you're doing maybe 20 seconds of work with 5 seconds rest, 20 seconds work, 5 seconds rest over and over again, which eventually would be a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But 30 seconds of work, 30 seconds of rest. You know, so it doesn't have to be 45 minutes steady state.
Mm-hmm.
It can be just minimal rest. So you have to be able to recover during that minimal rest to go back into the next effort and keep that sustained effort.
All right. Well, how does this make CrossFit an aerobic sport then? Because nothing in CrossFit feels very sustainable, especially the workouts when you're doing them, right?
Yeah.
And you're never standing around in it. So what do we mean when we say it's an aerobic sport?
Yeah, and most CrossFit workouts aren't longer than 20 minutes or so mm-hmm. until you get out to maybe regionals or maybe the games. But most most workouts aren't what we would, you know, kind of classically define as aerobic. But the ability to
– they're not purely aerobic.
Yeah, they're not purely aerobic, and especially when you look at them.
Well, I guess nothing's purely aerobic.
And what you say, and what you say as far as how does this help with that? Because nothing feels sustained in CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Well, now we're getting into the difference between testing and training. So when we're talking about testing, it may not be fully aerobic. Just like an 800 meter guy, maybe running his 800 meter may not be when he at that pace he's running at for his time trial is not a sustainable effort.
Hell no, because I used to run 800. I know that shit ain't sustainable.
But when you're training for it and when you're trying to get better at it, you mm-hmm. do want to be running at a longer, slower, sustained effort so that that higher effort can eventually slowly and slowly get higher and higher, mm-hmm. and it's still sub-maximal.
Yeah.
Until
so
you can repeat
when you say training versus testing, like give me an example. Like what makes something no longer aerobic? So we'll use a 5K, for example. At what point is it no longer, like, predominantly aerobic?
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, what it feels like, and when I'm just talking to clients about it, if you get off the rower and you're completely laid out and can't move for the next 10 minutes, then that wasn't aerobic. Mm-hmm. If you get off the rower and you can walk over and get some water and have a conversation, that's what we're talking about is aerobic. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want during training, because if we're always hitting that maximal effort, which is tapping into that anaerobic system, the glycolytic system we're talking about. If you're always tapping into that, you're going to be overdoing it, and your body's going to not respond as well, and you're not going to be able to recover as
right.
well.
Right. So that was my next question: is why is that bad then? Like, if I want to be better at rowing a 5K, for example, why can't I just hit it hard all the time and just keep getting better at it? Why doesn't that work?
Yeah. So some of that is developing, again, the ability. Doing aerobic training is developing the ability to flush out lactate better. Mm-hmm. So you're recovering better, the ability to use oxygen better, so your muscles are recovering better, and that can be during the actual event. You're not taxing the system mm-hmm. as much. Mm-hmm. And so if we go longer and longer, you're going to be able to that effort, just like we see marathoners, you know, elite marathoners running like a 5-minute mile for 26 miles. And for us looking at that, we're like 5 minutes.
Possible? That's insane.
Yeah, we're like a 5-minute mile. That's above
that's booking
maximal
it.
Effort.
That's booking
yeah.
it. That's
right.
booking
for
it,
them,
by the way.
But for them, it's aerobic because they're sustaining it for 3 hours.
It. Right.
Which is insane.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know how you get to that level.
I mean, that what you're saying, it makes 100% sense because, like, you know, when I did used to run, I ran in high school, I ran track. I ran the 4 and the 8, the 4 mm-hmm. and the 800 meter. And our track coach, he would always have even the 4 and 8 guys. We'd go on like 4-mile runs, you mm-hmm. know, a couple times a week, like 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be, you know, sustained effort. It's not supposed to be like where we're like dying at the end of it.
Right.
It's just supposed to be able to just coast at a pace.
Yeah.
And there's pace. And what that was trying to do and what that does is that it helps build that tank, you know,
yeah.
like to where, okay, yes, now it's time to run the race. You got to go all out.
Yeah.
However, your ability to recover within that race, you can push it longer
yep.
because
yep.
you have that built-in tank of aerobic endurance, you know?
Yeah.
Well, think of it in simplifying terms of if you want to get better at weightlifting, right, you don't max out every single day.
Right.
Now, you might have some benefit to that as a beginner, or not. I won't say Olympic weightlifting. I'll say, like, weightlifting in general. So, like, in the beginning, you could probably hit that high percentage
yeah.
a lot more often,
yeah.
and you'll just continue to see gains. But at some point, that progress curve is going to start to level out.
Taper out, yeah.
And then what? You have to
yeah.
start training it more, right?
Yeah. So the same thing with CrossFit. We see people coming to CrossFit, and for generally 6 to 18 months or so, we see people make really good progress with just hitting the Metcons every day. And then once you get past that, you kind of lose those newbie benefits and the results
Noob
and
gains.
Things like that. Yeah, the gains. So we have to start getting more specific with it, and you have to go to the longer stuff to work in. And like you said, with your cross country or your 4 and 800 training, you don't do it every day.
Right.
That's not what we're saying, but it's got to be in there. It's got to be a big piece of the puzzle, especially the higher level you get in CrossFit.
Yeah.
Especially when you're getting to the regionals and the games levels. Mm-hmm.
There's a big mental aspect
have
there,
to be
right?
There. Yeah.
So what you're saying, though – oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say anything then could be aerobic. It could be done on just a rower. We keep using that example because it's very simple, and
yeah.
it's just like you sit
Common
down and you
CrossFit.
Do it. But how can CrossFit workouts be aerobic? Can you have mixed movements in it? Again, it all comes down to, what, the effort that's put out?
Yeah.
Is it based on your heart rate? Like, how do you know
so I
like,
think
what
before,
to measure?
Before we get to that, maybe we should address does cyclical work, so rower, running, you know, jump rope, things like that, does that completely 100% translate into CrossFit workouts?
Right.
And so if with that question being
translate
asked.
Translate into helping CrossFit,
yeah.
helping you
so
be
that,
better in CrossFit workout.
With that question being asked, can you get better at CrossFit by just doing your strength and conditioning or your strength training and then a 5 to 7 minute AMRAP or whatever and then some cyclical work? And the
so
answer is not
what's
really.
What's cyclical work again?
Cyclical is just like just rower, just running. Monostructural is how CrossFit
yeah.
claims it. But rower, runner, running – you know, just
swimming or
anything. Swimming.
Yeah, okay.
Not a barbell or not a calisthenic
and,
or not
and
anything
for
like that.
Low intensity.
Yeah, low intensity.
Sustainable.
Move, sustainable intensity.
I like the direction that you're headed here because I think when a lot of people start learning about energy systems, they hear, you know, first off that, you know, anaerobic benefits aerobic, mm-hmm. aerobic doesn't benefit mm-hmm. anaerobic. So they're like, why don't I just stick to
the
completely
anaerobic
yep. all the time? So
yeah, which the anaerobic would be a whole nother topic, but the fact is the aerobic does help with the anaerobic and even the CP system. So
what's the CP system?
Creatine phosphate.
Okay.
So when we're talking about...
What's an example of that?
Strength training.
Right. So like anytime you pick up something heavy,
yeah. So
like
less
max
than 5 seconds.
Standing up.
Right.
Yeah.
Could be that simple.
Yeah. It could be.
And just to clarify too, so we have these three energy systems we brought up. And it's not like one is
yeah,
only
like
working and the other two shut off.
Yeah.
They're just all working in different ratios from one another at all times,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
Standing here right
thing.
Now, predominantly aerobic, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. The aerobic one is involved with all of them, at least to an extent, whereas the CP is definitely not, if you're doing going to the extreme, if you're doing an hour-long row, there's not a whole lot of CP
right,
system
exactly.
involved with that. But with the aerobic, it's kind of involved everything because it goes back to the repeatability. So it may not be the sustained effort, but it's the ability to rest a little bit and then repeat it again.
Yeah.
So back to your question, I think you were asking, you know, how does this look in a CrossFit form? So some of that depends on the time of year, but you can do aerobic style training, low intensity style training with, you can do it inside of a gym without a rower.
Mm-hmm.
So it, again, the focus in kind of layman's terms and the way I like to think about it is it should feel like you're doing something you're comfortable with, whether it be rowing or running or swimming. That effort, when you're doing sustained efforts in those pieces, that's what it should feel like as far as breathing. It should be controlled. And then as far as the movements go, it should be relatively easy for you to continuously move through that. So if I'm doing something aerobic, and let's say I want to be doing something that's 20 minutes of work, 10 minutes of rest, 20 minutes of work. Well, if my back squat is 400 pounds, I wouldn't do something with 315-pound back squats in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do wall balls in it. I could do 10 wall balls, bear crawl 100 feet, 10 sit-ups, 5 toes to bar, something like that, where
right.
it's sustainable through that and just continuously moving and breathing through that. I'm not trying to do an AMRAP. I'm just breathing. I do the movement, breathe, move to the next thing, breathe,
mm-hmm.
walk in lunges, you know.
I guess the main thing is just making sure it's sustainable.
Sustainable
yep.
is the main
so
thing.
So some people, a good example might be, I'll give a client 20 minutes, your choice, get out and do something active. And they're like, I went for a 20-minute run.
Yep.
And some people can go out for a 20-minute run all day long and feel great, and,
yep.
and their heart rate stays low, and it's very sustainable. But my point is someone else might not be sustainable while they run.
Mm-hmm.
They may not be able to run five minutes.
Definitely not.
Yeah, can you go out at any speed, can you go out and run for 20 minutes
Hell
straight
no.
right now? Right, so just because you might
I'm
have
a fat
heard,
weightlifter, though, so I don't, yeah. so, you know, hey, that's me.
But something we possibly could give you, and we don't want to get into the weightlifting topic, but possibly something we could give you is maybe 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be super long. 10 minutes of Turkish get-ups, side planks, and heavy farmer's carries.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be something that could benefit your weightlifting. You're getting some shoulder stability.
That's true.
You're getting
true.
Some grip strength in. You're breathing a little bit, but you're not going to be,
yeah.
like, sucking wind.
I guess,
right.
too, people always think, too, I like that you brought that up, because when I always think of, like, aerobic work, I'm thinking, like, boring ass,
yeah.
like, on the treadmill, cardio, mm-hmm. on the rower, mm-hmm. for, like, row for, like, 30 minutes.
Activity.
Air
activity.
Yeah.
This is where CrossFit has done wonders for us, because they've brought into light, hey, we can do aerobic stuff.
See, I'll do that
movements.
Aerobic shit. I'll do some heavy farmer's carries
yeah.
for, like, you know, just at a conversational pace, you know. Hey,
exactly.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'll do that, yeah.
So we talked about it, and then I don't think we finished the point, but we'd asked, can this kind of training make you better at those CrossFit workouts without actually doing the CrossFit workouts?
Right.
So if I want to get better at, like, a long Metcon, right? So if I want to get better at doing a 20-minute AMRAP with box jumps, toes to bars, and wall balls, and let's say that box jump, toes to bars, and wall balls, I'm pretty good at.
Right.
It's my problem with that workout, with being good at it, is my breathing.
Yeah.
Right. So my inability to, like, just basically have a bigger tank.
Yeah.
Can I just go do intervals on a rower and be better at that?
Yeah, so one thing to note in there that you said is you are good at wall balls, toes to bar, and whatever the other movement was you said.
Box jumps.
Box jumps. So if you are good at those and efficient at those, then yes, just training the energy system itself on a row or something like that will translate pretty well. Now, if you have a tendency to kind of blow up, maybe it's chest to bar or something in there, and you have a tendency to blow up, or your quads tend to blow up on wall balls, then you're gonna muscle endurance plays a factor too. So you can't just train the energy system itself, which is developing that ability to breathe and increase oxygen throughout your body and increase blood flow throughout your body, but you also have to develop muscle endurance, local muscle endurance, by doing local muscle endurance things. And that's where,
and what does that mean?
The ability to go longer without lactate buildup, and that
for like the lactate threshold,
that big pump that you get that we've talked about in previous episodes. We're trying to avoid that when it comes to CrossFit, because when you get to the end of that pump,
you're not trying to blow it up.
You can't keep going.
You're not trying to go to failure. You're not trying to go to failure.
You may look good, but you can't keep going. So how we would do that, again, is that mixed modal aerobic work, where we're putting some things in, and maybe it looks like, so let's say grip tends to blow up for somebody, and they pull-ups or toes to bar, their grip tends to blow up. Well, maybe we, now we do five toes to bar, and then farmer's carry, and then some other stuff like walking lunges, row a little bit, toes to bar, farmer's carry. So they're not just doing the toes to bar, but they're still getting the grip work in with the farmer's carry that's following that. So they're not going to blow up, but they are training that endurance in that aerobic position, in that energy system.
Now, how does the aerobic system actually help that? So most people would think, well, my grip blows up on toes to bar, so I just need to do way more toe to bar.
Yeah. Well, your body's – so the other thing with the aerobic system is it's – and if you're measuring heart rate, this kind of brings in heart rate a little bit. Depending on what movement you're doing, your heart rate is going to be different. So if I'm measuring my heart rate, and let's say I'm going at a perceived effort on a scale of 1 to 10, at a perceived effort of 7, and on the rower and on burpees, my heart rate is going to be different for the two of those, even though I'm at the same perceived effort. So if I'm training the energy system, we've got to do it with movements that we're going to be using in our testing workouts that CrossFit gives us. So if our heart, if we know our heart rate gets higher in a certain movement, we've got to learn to breathe, which is what we're doing with the aerobic system, is learning to breathe, learning to use oxygen better. We've got to learn to do that while we're doing toes to bar, while we're doing wall balls, while we're doing deadlifts and things like that. For instance, I tend to breathe better on squatting movements than bending movements. So wall balls, front squats, thrusters, I tend to do okay on, but rowing, kettlebell swings, things like that, I don't tend to breathe on.
Yeah.
So I breathe better on specific movements.
Yeah, the breath.
I'm the complete opposite.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So yeah. The breathing is probably, I'd say, because, you know, I've done some Metcons and stuff before. And some,
I did
and
a Metcon I've one done, time.
You know,
I did a Metcon once, right?
I did a Metcon once, but it was funny. I think somebody was yelling at me, like, breathe, breathe, because I was just doing, like, thrusters, and I wasn't breathing at all. And I mean, yeah, you could do that, but you're not going to do it for long.
Yeah.
And so breathing.
So you mentioned it earlier, getting comfortable with that, or I can't remember exactly how you said it, but getting comfortable with that and just learning it mentally is what you said.
Yeah,
just learning it mentally, being able to do that. And it takes, sometimes it takes bringing awareness to that. Like, hey, you're not breathing when you're doing wall balls.
Right.
And they're like, oh, I'm not. And
so aerobic training for CrossFit will not only, you know, what I'm hearing is too, is that it'll help you train you how to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Right.
Well, breathe while doing movements. Because most people don't have a problem rowing for 30 minutes because it's very simple to breathe. Now you might be closed a little bit sitting in that position, but when you have to think about transitioning from holding the wall ball to going to the toe bar, you forget to breathe.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Big deep breaths, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you have to think about it,
you're
going to slow down.
You're in this panic state. Yeah. It's a hard
day. Oh yeah, and then you get panicked, and then that's how you just freak out. I've seen it happen, like with people at competitions. Man, they're just like, and they're just like they look like they're dying, and it's just no fun.
Right. Right.
Just look at, like, you have experience, obviously, eventually making it to the game. So in a year-long program, when you're far away from competition versus when you're peaking for regionals, what are the kind of differences that you went through looking at that?
Yeah, it's drastically different. So way far away from the time that I was competing, it was more basic, like, energy system training.
System work.
Like on the rower, long intervals. It kind of boring stuff, honestly. I mean, I liked
training
it.
Training that third energy system.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, but it's just very, like,
the
very,
classic boring style.
Very monostructural, right? So mainly because for several things. Like, for one, we need to talk more about this too, is it helps me recover more between sessions, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, the ability to recover from one session to another is kind of an aerobic quality, right? And that's huge when it comes to CrossFit competition. So if you're someone who's pretty powerful and has a really bad aerobic system, you go do Fran for the first event and you blow it up. You kill it, right? You get first place. but you can't recover
you
enough.
Do a clean and jerk.
Right.
Next.
Yeah. You can't buffer and you can't chill. Yeah. You can't recover to go do a shit, anything really. Right. But the dude next to you is a few seconds slower because he's not as powerful as you, but he's got a much better aerobic system. He's 100% all right for the next one. You gotta consider that for days that have, for competitions that have multiple events in a day. Yeah. So,
and even training, just to go along with that part of it, in training, especially for CrossFit, you've got to be able to handle a high volume of very taxing movements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you're far away from competition, like we're talking about, that's when you're kind of preparing for that. So Right. You're doing your strength work with relatively high volume and you're doing aerobic work, so you're not killing your joints and everything, but you're developing the ability to recover for later on in the season.
Now, we talk, and I have a question about that, is that more work capacity, like, is that, or is there a difference between what you're talking about and then building work capacity?
That part of it that we're talking about is the aerobic system, just the energy system development. So the ability to breathe, the ability to produce oxygen, use oxygen, and it can create bigger lung volume. That part of it in the far off season is developing the energy system in order to set us up for developing higher work capacity later on.
Yeah.
So what's exactly work capacity?
Yeah. So my definition of work capacity is getting a little bit into that muscle endurance type deal where you have the ability to do a lot of work, movements, specific CrossFit specific movements. You have ability to do a bunch of those movements without burning out. And the ability to sustain those efforts.
I mean, isn't it specific on what you're doing, on how you're testing it?
Yeah.
So, your work capacity on the rower is going to be different than your work capacity on a 20-minute Metcon.
Yeah.
Or like a 10-minute workout, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really depends on what it is you're doing. The aerobic system can help those,
right?
What we're getting at.
So what I'm hearing is, like, the aerobic work is, like, your base, right?
The energy,
your foundation, right? So, like, just like for strength, you need a good foundation of muscle, right?
Yep.
Absolute
to
strength.
To build absolute strength. You need a good foundation of aerobic endurance and capacity to build work capacity later on.
Yep.
Yeah. What's the
mind blown, man? That's
what's the measurement of the
I feel like the Velociraptor.
Was it Lewis Simmons said?
I mean, your pyramid's only as tall as the base.
So your base is the aerobic.
So
right.
With that said, I want to talk about some of the problems that might come up when you're trying to figure out if you're getting better, if your aerobic system is actually getting better. So let's say that we want to think
you're not puking in wads.
I want to know if I'm getting better at long workouts. So my aerobic system is getting better. So I'm going to use that 20-minute AMRAP that we talked about. It has box jumps, wall balls, and toes to bar. Tell me why that might be bad. To see if it's an indication if my aerobic system's better.
I think if you're testing the aerobic, I think both need to be taken into consideration. So let's just say we do a 5K row also, which is going to be around a 20-minute test, and we have the 20-minute AMRAP. I think it's important to look at both of them because if we look at just the AMRAP, then we may not be getting more skilled, or we may lose skill possibly in the toes to bar and wall balls and box jumps, and that skill development may not progress as well as the breathing, or some other factor may cause us to decrease on those. Maybe grip endurance went down for some reason. And if we test the 5K row and that's improved, then we may need to look at this athlete and say, hey, this athlete needs to do more muscle endurance-based stuff to help with that aerobic system in developing the 20-minute AMRAP, which is going to be specific to CrossFit. Whereas some people, if they move well, their mechanics are well, like I said earlier, the producing just the system will help with that. And I tend to be kind of on that end of the things. I'm a shorter athlete, so movements tend to not be as hard for me. So muscle endurance usually isn't the limiting factor, whereas you may be on the other end because of being a taller and movements do get a little bit harder, where actual chest to bar do get a little bit harder.
Yep.
Maybe muscle endurance in those things may be a bigger factor.
Right. So he's saying you guys get that. So basically, if we use that test and – I'm trying to see if that's making me better, my aerobic work, if my aerobic system's better. But what if I got worse at toes to bar? Does that mean my aerobic system's worse because I didn't get as many a better score in that AMRAP? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's too many other factors.
It's too many factors, right? So simplify the testing even further. So use the row, for example. The 30-minute row is a very popular one. And I'm about to talk about as well how just using the 30-minute row without any heart rate metrics is mm-hmm. also not a good idea. Yeah. So let's say you do a 30-minute row for the first time. It's a great test to see just how much work can you put out in 30 minutes on the rower, mm-hmm. right? A good aerobic test.
Now, what are you supposed? What kind of level of intensity are you supposed to
get
do
as it? Many meters this as you is, can in 30
yeah, this
minutes?
This is a max effort test.
So you're trying to go hard.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
for 30 minutes.
That's the thing. So, like, obviously, you're not going to sprint out the
gate,
right?
Okay, okay, okay.
Right. But here's the thing. So
like
say,
when you used to run 5K.
Right.
5K
okay.
Test.
I got you.
Yeah. So true.
What can you sustain?
Pretty
for
much.
30 minutes. Okay.
Now, let's say the first time you do it, you get 8,000 meters. That's a really good score.
Good job.
First time you do, you get 8,000 meters. Next time you come back and you get 8,500 meters. Now, looking at that, you're like, well, I'm in better shape. But are you? Did you just get better at taking the test? Right? Did you maybe learn more the second time you did it? Maybe you just learned how to pace better. Maybe right. you kicked it in harder at the very end. So it could be both, right? You could have developed. You also could have just gotten better at taking the test. So what is one way we can make sure that we're really checking out that it's internal development?
Yeah, I think keeping it to cyclical tests is one way because it's less likely to be a different factor other than you actually improving the aerobic system. Checking your heart rate, and that's a way that gets – a little bit more into training, but having a heart rate monitor while you're training is very important too, to make sure you're staying in that effort, because it's very important to stay in that submaximal effort so that we're not getting outside of that.
Now, what would
system.
That zone, what would that so, zone be?
Yeah, so depending, I mean, you can do different intervals for different levels of the aerobic system, but generally speaking it's below 170-ish. And now that's going to be a high effort aerobic training session. So mm-hmm. again, the farther outside of the season you are, it's going to be lower and lower effort. So, I mean, off-season training, I would do up to 90-minute pieces where I was supposed to be staying under 140 or so mm-hmm. beats per minute, which is a pretty low effort when you think about it. You're running, I would do stuff like running and Turkish get-ups and side planks and things like that. And if you think about it, when you're doing side planks in a workout, obviously your heart rate's going to come down a little bit. But we want that when it's a 90-minute piece. Mm-hmm. And then the more intense we get into the season, the higher it's going to get. But still, repeat that. Like the other day when I was running, I was doing 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, and my heart rate stayed around 160 or so. So it wasn't like I was sprinting all out for 30 mm-hmm. seconds, but I was staying submaximal that I could sustain it.
And these are alternatives too. So like it's not like the only way to do long aerobic work is to just sit on a rower for 90 minutes. Like
no.
He's talking about doing like a variety of movements because it does a couple of things. One, it's variety, right? It keeps you sane. And then two, it teaches you to be better about transitioning and
to different movements.
Right, exactly, which is CrossFit, right?
Yeah,
like it's
right.
it's the ability to adapt to moving to different movements and staying aerobic as possible so you can get more work.
So we touched on
do more work.
We touched on a little bit, but maybe getting more specific with how to design a workout that we know is aerobic with using mixed modal stuff.
And how often
stuff.
Should you do it? Like,
yeah.
I mean, how frequently?
I think it depends on when that endpoint is that you're trying to develop to, as well as what you're trying to reduce in terms of the other issues, other things that it might kind of not ruin, like some strength possibly, but just depending on how much time you have in the
and
off-season.
How much time do you have in
yeah,
the day?
Yeah, how much time do you have? So, or how much time do you have in a day too, yeah. So what are some examples?
Yeah, I mean, if I have somebody that has this training twice a day, which is going to be obviously a higher level athlete, then usually, especially starting out in the off season, their AM pieces are mostly aerobic. It's debatable whether or not AM or PM is better, and we don't need to get into that. But usually I just like to set it up where the AM pieces aerobic, where they're getting usually close to 6 hours or so of aerobic work. 5 or 6 hours a week of aerobic work because mm-hmm. Every AM piece is aerobic. And then as the season gets closer, we start getting into more anaerobic stuff and blending those two systems together. Does that kind of answer that a little bit?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
With an individual, sorry, with somebody who only has one session a day, then it gets a lot different.
Right.
And again, this gets into not having the preconceived idea that it has to be really long. For it to be aerobic work, it just has to be sustainable. So, like, I have a regionals level athlete that can only train once a day. So basically, she does some strength work and then does aerobic work. But the aerobic work usually doesn't last more than about 30 minutes because that's all she has.
Right.
She's only got time for that. But we make sure the effort's in the right sustained energy system.
But she would do it every day.
Yeah, she would have to do it every day
until what? Close to the close to peaking season where
she's pretty much doing it every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's necessary to keep in there at least 3 or 4 days a week all the way through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, if they only have one training session a day, then it makes it a little bit harder. But I don't think with CrossFit being the main goal, that there's ever a time where you need to completely take it out even right. for a day.
Let's talk about so you have this plan, you're doing this stuff in the off season, you're not really sure it's working. Like, A, how can you know? How can you test and retest to make sure you're doing the right thing? And then B, how do you actually keep yourself sane and stick to that process? Because likely if you're doing a lot of this stuff, it's a weakness. You're doing it because you want to be better at something you're not so great at. So how do you actually trust that and stick to it?
Yeah, I think a couple things. One, if you're a high-level competitive athlete, like you alluded to earlier.
Shut your mouth and do the work.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly it. If your goal truly is regionals, you're going to do boring stuff. You're going to mm-hmm. do stuff that's not fun. You're going to do supplementary stuff, even that's not aerobic. You're going to do boring stuff to rehab your muscles and things like that that's boring. So if you're a high-level athlete, you just got to do it.
Yep.
If you're not a high-level athlete, it's either up to you or your coach or whoever's doing your program to make it creative, to make it fun. Like we were talking about earlier with you, I wouldn't give you a 10-minute run.
This dude's going to be cussing the whole time.
I'd be like, fire this guy. I'd be like, screw this.
But what if the mental aspect of it is what he needs?
Yeah, well, I mean.
Toughen my ass yeah. up. Yeah, I mean, you know.
I'm about to talk about that.
Okay, yeah, I'm really interested in that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so the psychological of that, like, I'm a naturally, like, very high strung, explosive person. Like, yeah. I'm very powerful, always have been.
You just like pain, dude. Like, you love pain.
Well, here's how I look at things, and it's almost my mindset is that I like to be able to see the end point, and I want to get there as fast as I can.
Yeah.
Aerobic and endurance sports aren't like that for the most part. They're not like that. You can't always see the finish line, and you've got to be comfortable just going out and working.
Yeah.
And I'm not comfortable with that. So on the psychological side of it, if you're someone who is about to start, you know, your rowing intervals and you're like, oh, God, I suck at this stuff. I hate this. I know I suck at it, so it's just going to suck. Yeah. You're never going to be good at it.
Right.
You have to change your mindset in that. You have to think like someone who is good at it.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while. It's a lot of practice. You have to tell yourself, though, that I'm going to be good at this at some point.
Yeah. Like,
I'm
think gonna I can. Get better. I think I can. I think
mean,
I can.
It sounds silly, but it's the truth.
And not only that, but for me, like I said, my limiter is always lungs because of my how short I am. Movements is usually not the limiter. So what I think is, like, if I can get down to even 80% of what McGoldrick can row, then I can probably hang with him on most classic CrossFit workouts.
Right.
Which is usually the case with, like, there's a guy in town who's 6'2" or 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get anywhere even remotely close to him on a row test, usually I can hang with him on a classic CrossFit workout. So just put it all in perspective with what your goal is. Like, if you're training to get to regionals or to do really well at regionals, but you maybe not necessarily, or even if you're worried about the games, usually they're not going to be a 60-minute row test.
Mm-hmm.
So take it all in consideration and say, if I can get my 60-minute row or 30-minute row or 5K row even remotely close to these guys, I'll probably be in pretty good shape when it comes to the actual CrossFit workout with them. Hmm. Another measurement to maybe look at that we haven't talked about as far as recovery and stuff is looking at your resting heart rate first thing in the morning when you wake up. This mm-hmm. doesn't really have anything specifically to do, I mean, yeah, it does, with training. But if your resting heart rate is getting lower because of your aerobic training, then that's a sign that it's working.
Why is that better?
Because if we're always in that sympathetic.
It's sympathetic response. Yeah.
If we're always
fight
in
or
that
flight, fight or flight.
If we're always in that fight or flight, which means the heart rate's usually a little bit higher, we're never going to be able to down-regulate a little bit. Then our hormones are going to be out of whack and recover, and it's not going to be there.
Right. So in other words, you could say the aerobic system would help you get to that point faster after workouts.
Right.
So a good example was a few years ago I was training, and I did a ton of aerobic work, and I retested my Fran, and I did way better on my Fran. Well, let's say I did a few seconds better, which just could have been because I got better at that. But my ability when I was done after that Fran, once I finished it, I was like, I hit the ground after the last pull up and was like,
that was it. Yep.
You know, and I was like, whoa, like that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any training for Fran whatsoever.
Yeah.
Point being is that the aerobic training helped me get better at recovering after those workouts, which is going to help me for my next event, right?
Yeah.
So I was back to homeostasis, or I was, you know, back at that recovering,
that healing
level much faster, which is going to allow you to, I mean, basically do better and,
So that brings up a good point with high-level athletes, and we see, like, everybody compares to Rich Froning and how much work he does in a day and the volume that he does and the intensity that he does because they see his workouts or pieces of his workouts and they see his times and they think that's incredibly fast. Mm-hmm. But all of what he's doing is aerobic, and it's just he's so developed in that system that all that stuff is submaximal. So same thing with you. I've had the same experience. Everybody talks about Fran.
Basically, we're just saying he's a superhuman.
Yeah. Are you comparing me to Rich Froning?
No. So like you said with Fran, I've had the same experience. Everybody talks about how Fran lays you out. And last time I did it, I literally did it as fast as I could. When I got done, I dropped down off the last pull-up bar, and I was fine. Like, yeah. I walked over and got some water. Yeah. It wasn't hard. And you see people win 800-meter or 400-meter races and
victory lap. Yeah. They're just chilling out. Yeah.
Most crossfitters go do a 400. Yeah. They're like,
Yeah, and it's because their aerobic system is so developed.
And a good example I saw, too, was at the Open last year, 15.5, when Sam Briggs did that rowing and thruster workout. Mm-hmm. When she got done, she was like, like just looking around at people, and I was like, "Oh wow, yeah, that shows the difference there." And the other athletes were laid
smoked.
Out,
dying.
Smoked. And they may not have fallen on the ground, but they were trying not to.
Yeah,
she was totally fine. So just another sign there.
Yeah, and bringing it in, we didn't touch on really, but talking about how developing the aerobic system, especially for the sport of CrossFit, helps with the heavy stuff. So when we have
I was going to touch on that. Like, what about the strength stuff?
Yeah. So a specific example, specific example would be 15.1A and 15.1B. You have to be able to recover in less than 6 minutes to hit a one rep max clean and jerk. Mm-hmm. So you just do a 9-minute AMRAP.
Or you just sandbag the shit out of it.
And then they'll call you out.
That's true.
You get in trouble.
There's people that did that. But so you got to do a 9-minute AMRAP, and you've got to go hard. That's a scored event. You got to go as fast as you can, but you've got to be able to recover in a short enough time to do at least a decent clean and jerk after that. Mm-hmm. And, okay, let's take it out of the open. So it's not that. When you were at the games, they had a clean and jerk ladder. It was on the third day, I think.
It was like a week long.
You don't remember
it was on
your
Saturday.
Games?
It was on Saturday.
Yeah, so it was like 4 days in.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was their first event that day or not. That doesn't really matter.
No, the first event was Naughty Nancy, where we did 100 overhead squats and ran around the stadium four rounds.
Yeah, so they had to do that, and you have to have the ability to recover and still hit close to your one rep max.
Right.
Now, you may not hit your one rep max after that, but some people did, and some people came close to that. And that's the aerobic system giving you the ability to recover, your muscles the ability to recover, so you can produce a high output. Now, are they hitting truly their one rep max? Now we're getting into how much they're digging into their CNS. Like true one rep max even when they're fresh in training. Because like Froning, you know, different people. I'll speak to somebody that I have actually personally worked with, but I've had a guy work with hit a one rep max clean, and then we do a battery test, which is a CP battery test. So creatine phosphate battery test, basically the ability to repeat creatine phosphate work. So like I said, that heavy one rep, one clean is a creatine phosphate energy system. The ability to recharge that battery and do that lift again. Over and over again, how fast can you do that?
So, for example, the open workout where they had snatches at 135, 165, would get into that.
So the test that I use or that we use some with that is do a clean one rep max and then rest a couple minutes and then do 8 minutes max reps at 90%.
Jesus Christ.
your first thought is maybe like a couple.
Yeah, yeah, like
in 8 minutes.
Like three, two. Yeah.
So I've worked with somebody who Drew Shamlin, he did, I can't remember his exact number, but it was like 37 or something reps.
Are you serious?
And I've heard that Froning's is like 40 something. But the point is that not that they're weak at the lift, because like Froning's hit 370 or something that's clean. Drew's not extremely strong, but his clean at the time was like 315 and 325, so not terrible. And then he repeated that for 37 times, and that's why he's been top 50 in the world in the open several times when he only snatches 225 and cleans 315.
Yep.
That's how he has that ability to
recharge faster between that sub-max effort. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's just a different – again, it's the ability to recover even between heavy lifts or recover after several workouts and then go hit a max lift.
Got it. Okay, so we talked about I want to get a little more details on how to train it, right? So somebody's listening to this and they want to know, like, all right, well, like, where do I start? Like, do I do intervals that are, you know, like 1 minute on, 1 minute off? Do I do, like, long sessions, like you said, with a few minute rest? Like, where would someone start and how do they know how to progress that towards, you know, an end point?
Yeah, when I'm working with an athlete, I usually, and if you're just doing this for yourself, you know, ask yourself, what's your background? What's your history? Like you said, you're a very explosive person, a very explosive athlete. So that takes into consideration not only what times I'm going to give you.
I'm a power fitter.
You're a power fitter.
Yeah, you're a power fitter. Not only what times I'm going to give you, but how I'm going to describe the workout to you. So I usually like to start on two ends of the spectrum. So give like a 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off for 20 to 30 minutes.
One to one work to rest ratio.
Okay. And then on another day, I may give a long, easy effort. So it's maybe starting with 40 minutes of just sustained effort. But how I'm going to explain it to him, let's say you come from a triathlon background. You've done 10 years of long, slow,
yeah,
easy
dude.
Stuff.
Yeah, you know me.
if you're coming from a long triathlon background and you're coming from a weightlifting background,
power fit,
I may say 45 minutes at 60% to you, or easy sustained effort to you.
Right.
Whereas to you, I may say 45 minutes at 90% effort, because your 90% effort, because you're so ingrained in that long slow, is still sustainable.
Right.
If I tell him 90%, he's going to hit a wall in 5 minutes.
It's going to be pretty close to max.
Yeah, you'd be dead.
So when you're
dead.
So the biggest thing I usually talk with clients talking about this is making sure it's easy enough. Most people go too hard when we're talking about this work. Make sure it's light enough. Make sure it's. I mean,
you can hold a conversation.
Yeah, okay. I've done workouts with, and mind you, at this time I was a borderline regionals athlete, and I've done long workouts with a 35-pound kettlebell swing. Now that's not heavy, and most people, when you give that to them, and they're starting with you as a coach or something, they're like, "Am I only supposed to do 35 pounds? Like I usually do 70-pound kettlebell swings." And it's like, no, you're supposed to be able to do that.
That's the stigma.
That's the point.
Does it have to hurt to work, basically?
Yeah.
And with aerobic work, no.
Yeah.
Even though I know like Metcons are supposed to hurt, right?
Yeah.
Like. That's the other thing, too. We'll have we'll do Nuggets of Pearls on that. Like, what does Metcon mean? Like, that's such a broad term to everyone. People think it's if it's weightlifting or Metcon. But Metcon could be so much.
So there's no such thing as an aerobic pump, like, where it's got to hurt. It's got to burn to grow, right? There's no such thing?
No, I think the equivalent would be an aerobic sweat.
Okay.
Get your sweat on.
Get your sweat on.
So we covered how aerobic training is going to help you, you know, compete better in the sport of CrossFit. It's going to make you recover better between efforts. It's going to help you recover faster after those efforts. It's going to increase your work capacity. It's going to help your muscle endurance in some ways, your CP battery. He talked about that a little bit. So your ability to hit a heavy weight and immediately be able to come back and hit it again.
Mm-hmm. Which is CrossFit.
Which is, I mean, all those things are, it's really a number of things. We don't really know what CrossFit is.
Right. But that's what people are doing.
So far, it's what we've seen that where it can help you. We gave you some ideas on how to train it, right? And how to test it too. So you can know if you're actually making improvement, because that's important. You want to know if you're doing all that work, you got to know, is this even working? And we gave you some ideas on how to test it correctly, right? So that way you know that it's not something else that's throwing off the skewing the data.
So using the heart rate monitor to measure.
Simplifying the test, heart rate monitor, making sure there aren't things in it that can change that might be out of your control, like limiters, different bar.
So what to take from here and how to apply in your everyday training, because we didn't get necessarily into specifics as far as like how to lay out the periodization of it on a weekly template or anything like that. And we're not going to be able to get into that. But looking at energy system work, that's you're not going to find any energy system books or energy system work on CrossFit specifically, but just take what's out there on specific energy system work for a track athlete, for a triathlon athlete. There's a website called Slow Twitch, which is like the opposite of what you would think you would want to do.
That just sounds terrible.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought when I first saw it.
Slow Twitch.
The Lore of Running is a huge book that has stuff in it, but any energy system type website or book, and just take the principles of it and then apply it to CrossFit, making sure the movements designed are easy enough to do it in a sustained effort. So the same time frames, all that stuff, keep it simple, do exactly what it says in the book and put mixed modal stuff in it. And that's going to be your base for learning how to do this.
I got a question for you. Do you think you'll build a program that we could put in overtime? Something specific?
That sounds like we should put that shit in overtime.
Yeah. Yeah, something you could add to a training program you're already doing?
Yeah. We'll build a template or an exact system, or just a template that you can fill in the points of where to put that into your system. So maybe you have six training sessions. We'll give you, you know, kind of three sessions or something to
and
go.
And maybe also teach
that.
People how to build this for themselves too.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like teach people how to implement this.
Yeah. So given a template that shows, you know, maybe the time frames and intervals.
Yeah.
But they can put in the work.
I'd be fucking lost.
Yeah. They can put in the work for it.
I'd be lost as shit.
Yep. Very cool.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing I like what you said that takeaway for me is that it doesn't have to be like that just on the rower boring shit. Like you can lift weights and make it aerobic. And I think that'd be something a weightlifter I'd be down to do.
And as a CrossFitter, it doesn't have to hurt. It doesn't have to kill you to benefit you. That's huge.
You're killing multiple birds with one stone.
Yeah, you know, you can make it part of your process.
You're improving your movement quality. Right. Like, you're doing all these things that could help your weightlifting.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. So. I mean,
cool.
Shit, now I want to do some aerobic stuff.
I can't believe you just said that. We got it on camera. Yeah.
I mean, it's on camera
Let's
now.
Do
so
it right
it's,
now.
It's
very cool.
It's true. People are probably going to be like, what the fuck?
All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.